Oh.
Hello. Hello. Just going to move that to the side. Is that okay? Is that all right? Good morning, everyone. Well, my name is Ange. Morning. A few things about me. I've been going to Open Door Church for 18 years. That's like ages. And I've been part of God's family since I was 21. I need you up permanent, please. So a few things about me. We've been married for nearly 25 years. What else do you want to know? We've got three kids, one's an adult. That's a bit bonkers. And I'm wearing these shoes for a reason. It's not because I want heels. There's a purpose. It's about where I wear them, about what I'm wearing. These are really old. I used to wear them when I was teaching. And they I danced the shoes off at Adam's wedding. And I went to my friend who works at a shoe fitter, and I used to visit her in prison, and they were quite scruffy. And I said to my friend, do you reckon you can do anything with these? And she went, oh sure, Ange. And she wouldn't let me pay. She wanted to pay. And I did my shopping, and I looked out, and I was seeing if she was ready, and I was talking to someone else, and the care that she polished into these shoes. So these are my shoes that remind me that I get to take the kingdom of God wherever I go. And we have got shoes of the gospel. Have you got shoes? Check your shoes. Fit for the gospel. Now, today I want to talk about our posture. Now, apparently how you stand is good for your back muscles, your core muscles. Rachel's sitting up straight. I didn't get the memo. I've been slouching since I was a kid, I'm afraid. And sporty people, apparently how you posture yourselves if you're dancing, it's really important. How you're starting on the starting line, how you pass a baton, is all really important. It's how you go from being a good sports person to an excellent one. Again, I'm not sporty. But I personally think that the posture of our heart is the most important muscle to get right. We all want God to move in us and through us, right? We want to see the power of God. We want to see it. And I would like to suggest that the posture of our heart can be an issue in us not seeing God move as much, because we are blocking some stuff. Has anyone had a party bag where you get one of those little yellow men, sticky men, and you throw them at the window and they go blub, 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 blub? This is the closest I could find. And our hearts are a bit like this. Now, this is supposed to stick to a window and blop, blop, blop down the wall. I'm not going to do it. But the thing about these, it's a bit like our hearts. They get dirty really easily, and our hearts can take offence really easily. If I drop this on the floor, it's going to be covered in hair and fur really easily, and our hearts can easily take offence. Anyone relate to that? This morning I got up, went downstairs, noticed the dishes were still all over the side, too busy last night, and I thought, oh, Ian, you know I don't like that. You could have at least done them. And I could have lived in offence, but my attitude when I realised, whoa, what's going on? But I'm grateful that he's got up early, walked the dog. Yes, I didn't have to walk the dog. Our attitude of how we're easily offended or easily grateful affects our posture. Now, I have read this really good prayer, and I've been trying to read it for quite a long time. And I took it off a preach that Danielle Strickland did, and it's a posture prayer. I might get rid of these because I'm going to fiddle. And just as we start, I'd love you to join in if you like. I'm a kinesthetic learner, and it's quite helpful. So if you want to join me, put your hands in front of you. I'm going to have to read my notes. Right, so we're praying. I confess that my natural human posture is to take, to hold, and to keep. But I choose, as a disciple of Jesus, and open your arms wide, a posture of generosity. Freely I have received, freely I give. And then in that moment, you're asking God to give you what you need. For me, it's always patience, self-control. Always. And other stuff. So we use that. We start off by saying our natural human posture is to hold. And we're saying, God. And we say, once we've taken what we need, we say, free, everything I've received today, I will give away. Now, put your arms up again. My natural human posture. I've got one wrong, haven't I? done it wrong, sorry. I've never used a tablet before. Right, sorry, I'll start with the first one, then we'll go to the last one. Sorry, Matthias, this is his first time. He got me. So, we're going to go with the first one. Hold your hands up like this. I confess that my natural human posture is I want things to be done my way, to fight for my right, to make something happen. But I choose, as a disciple of Jesus, a posture of surrender. My life is not my own. God, take charge. Let's do the next one again. I confess that my natural human posture is to take, to hold, to keep. But I choose, as a disciple of Jesus. And then I'm going to just go to the end. To open my hands to the world in a posture of generosity. Then I say, everything I've received, I will give away today. And the last one, cross your arms, look like you don't care. My natural human posture is to spectate, to critique, to judge, and to say it's not my problem. But I choose, as a disciple of Jesus, to open my life wide and say to the needs of the world, to the lost, the least, and the last, you are welcome here. Amen. Proverbs 4:23 says, above all else, guard your heart, from everything flows out of it. Everything you do flows out of it. And I want to choose today by just focusing on three or four words. Esther, you'll be happy because it's alliterated. Found out that. So our posture, presence, perception, and then Ian stuck in proximity. There we go. Let's get into some scripture. So this is going to be from John 14, verse 12 to 15. If you want to open it up. John 14. Sorry. No. I've written the wrong. Is that? It is meant to be John 14. Sorry about that. Good that you're all forgiving, accepting of people's mistakes. So I'm going to read it to you. It is the right scripture, but I've put the wrong reference on there. I'm not sure how that happened. I blame me, obviously. I don't blame anyone else. So Jesus is speaking, and Jesus says, I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done, and even greater works, because I'm going to be with the Father. You can ask for anything in my name, and I will do it. So the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask anything in my name, and I will do it. If you love me, obey my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He's the Holy Spirit who leads in all truth. And then just jumping forward a bit to verse 21, it says, those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. And because they love me, my Father will love them, and I will love them and reveal myself to each of them. This is what Jesus wants for us. This isn't like the gift of being an apostle or a prophet or a teacher or an evangelist. This is all people. And a disciple, as most of us know, is that it's somebody who just follows. You're just following and trying to be an imitator of Jesus. And he wants us now to do the same works as him, but then it says in greater. And that was a bit of a quandary, because what? Anyone raised anyone from the dead? Walked on water? It's not in this commentary that I was reading about. This is just an aside note. It's not that anyone can do greater miracles than Jesus. Jesus operated in a corner of the ancient Roman Empire, and he did his miracles and his saved people there. And then in Acts, we see that they carried on sharing the gospel. When it talks about greater works, is that when Jesus shared the gospel and his disciples did, but we get to take that mandate. People across the world know about Jesus. So we are part of a heavenly mandate, a greater mission. We've been commanded to be on mission with Jesus, and that comes with obeying his commands, and we're invited to love God and demonstrate his kingdom. He gave us his Spirit as a counselor who will never leave us. Now, is there anything that we would think about that would hinder us taking the kingdom wherever we go? And I would suggest that it's our heart's posture. Some of us think that we're not good enough. We identify with our old self. We identify as the sinner. You identify with the shame and the guilt. I identify as that person quite regularly because I'm judgmental. I'd be driving down the road, not even thinking I'm in sin, and thinking of judgmental things and critical things. Some of you might be thinking negative stuff right now. We identify with that sinner. But in Ephesians 2, it talks about we were dead in our transgressions. We did live for the cravings of our flesh. And to be honest, we still sometimes do. We want some nice stuff. We want to put ourselves first. And that is not what Jesus did. But let's, if we can find Ephesians 2 verse 4 on the slides. The next one, please. But let's read this one. It's a bit small, but there's a lot of scriptures to get to have put on a slide. So, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when you were dead in your transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed by his kindness to us who believed. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. It is not from yourselves, it is a gift from God, not by works, so no man can judge. We are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which he prepared in advance for us to do. But Jesus said, the truth is, anyone who believes in me will do the same works as I have done. Now, there may be some people in here that are like, I don't really know if you're real, God. And that's absolutely fine to question these things. But I would like to say that there is an invitation. God is not like a pushy, bossy father that says, get in the family, get in the car. I don't know about your experience of dads, but sometimes it can be different to the dads that we would have liked to have had. God is a God of invitation. He has said, come into the family. So if you don't know or you're not sure if you're in God's family, today's a good day to find out. Be quiet a minute. I'm just going to ask you to do a question. If you're not sure you know that you're in God's family, I just want you to ask God in your head. This is a prayer. You're just going to say, God, are you real? Are you calling me into your family? And ask that question again. When you're going to bed tonight, when you're walking down the road, ask that question. God, are you real? Do you want me and your family? I think I know the answer. I think it's a yes. It's a 100% yes. And those of us that already know, I think he wants us to change our posture a bit more, to be more present with him, be more present with the people around us, and be aware of what he's doing around us. What was Jesus like? So he was completely humble. Anyone feel completely humble? I don't think it's my gift mix. Anyone else feel completely humble? No. I often don't feel completely humble. If I am completely humble, I sometimes go a little bit too far and then feel a little bit resentful. And then I think, like, why am I being so humble? What about everyone else? Sticky, dirty things on my heart. Jesus was also in complete communion with the Father. I know we're not Jesus, but we're invited to have him front and center of our lives, of our hearts, of our coming and going. We are invited to, we are commanded and invited to look into scripture, do a deep dives. Look like you're looking in the mirror and go, oh, I'm being judgmental. God, forgive me. Clean up your heart. We're invited into that. And Jesus didn't leave us alone. He sent us the Holy Spirit that lives within us. And it's the Holy Spirit we can ask for more all the time. It's not like you being greedy. You can't be greedy for more of God's presence. It's what we're designed for. It's our fit. The other thing that Jesus did when he was on earth, he's always looking to see what the Father was doing. He moved in compassion. He was looking around to see what was going on, and he stepped into that. He didn't shy away from dirty people or sinful people, or even people with contagious diseases, he went to them. He accepted them. The only people that Jesus appeared to have a go at and be critical of was the pious, judgmental, religious people. Let's not be that. Let's not think that we're too good for the world. That is, I think a lot of the churches and CNAs have got a good reputation for loving the lost, doing the food bank, doing acts of service. But historically, the church is known for being critical and judgmental. We think we're better than everyone else. We're not. We're not at all. Let's not be judgmental. The other thing about Jesus is that he brought the kingdom of God wherever he went. So we operated, and this is where I think our posture needs to be of our heart. We are operating of a place of surrender. We know that we are saved just by grace. We are saved. We did not deserve it. We have done nothing to deserve it, but yet still Jesus chose to come to earth, to die for our sins, to take them away, to wipe us completely free. So we're not going, yay, I'm saved. I mean, I don't know, you might want to do that. But we're coming as humble servants of Jesus. But the other thing that I don't think we do so much is operate in the power and authority that we've been given as children of God. So we're going humble in God's power and authority. And I think we need both if you want to see power. It is not a place of pride or self-reliance or arrogance, but a posture of humility. We are called and invited to walk in the family way. Tell you a little story. Someone in our church with his job had a lot of hostility against some traveling communities over and over again. And as he drove past a traveling community that was parked up over at the riverside, he realized, oh, I've got offense here. I've got unforgiveness here. So he stopped and he said, God, I want to change my heart. By the way, repentance just means changing your thinking. So he cleaned up with before God. He's like, God, you've revealed this in my heart. I want to change. Now, at that point, he could have just driven up to work. But I don't know whether God spoke to him or it's his idea or maybe it was both. He felt like God prompted him to go and walk around the traveling community and say, hey, I'm a local pastor. Anyone else walked around, gone around a traveling community and thought, I want to love you? Anyone? No. Yes, thank you, Joy. So he decided, after he'd cleaned up his heart and he heard from God, he went in. And the atmosphere was a little bit frosty, a little bit like, who are you? Why are you here? And he said, I'm a local pastor and I'd love to share God's love with you and I'd love to pray for you. I might be ad-libbing on the story a little bit. I think I've got it right. And has anyone ever been invited, apart from Joy probably, into a traveling community's home? Hey, well done. He got invited into home after home after home saying, come meet my old grandmother. Come pray for these teenagers. Explain the gospel. Come pray for this really poorly baby. Home after home after home. The culture changed. The atmosphere from this site went from being cold and closed and fearful to the glory of God was there. The kingdom of God had come near. And I would suggest that if he hadn't got his posture of his heart right, and listen to the move, promptings of the Holy Spirit, could have gone to work, got on with his job. But the kingdom of God would not have come near. Do you get what I'm saying? I know we're busy people, but we can't always rush around. I'm talking to myself right now. Your tablet's just died on me. No, I'm not blaming you though, it's not a blame thing. So I haven't touched it long enough. Poor Ian. You should be grateful I remembered it's our anniversary this year of 25 years. Can you just come and turn it on again? Yes, please. I'm technologically challenged. Thank you. Can we look at the slide that's Ephesians 1 verse 3, praise, all praise to God. when we don't clean up our hearts and get our postures right, now let's just say, I'm not talking about, oh, I need to clean up my heart once every 2 weeks or so. For me personally, I'm offended and critical, I would say every 3 or 4 minutes. If I need a coffee and I cannot get to the coffee table, I'm thinking, just move out of the way. What are you being selfish for? I'm being honest, I'm sorry. And it doesn't have to be that going into a traveller's community, I think that I meet with God in this way at a checkout. Forgive me if I've told you this before. I find shopping a bit stressful and boring. And then when you finish, you realise you've got to put it all away and then you've got to cook a meal. There's resentment already started there. And when I'm getting to the checkout, I'm thinking, I've had enough. I need a coffee and a wee. By the way, I think we should have free coffees for people when they've had their shopping. But that point when I'm most bored and offended and fed up and hot and tired is when I think, but God, what does a person in front of me need? And often I feel like I'm saying that to God. What does this person on the checkout need? Kindness. Whoa, revolutionary. Kindness, patience, self-control. We're saying to them, hi, are you okay? Because we care that they're okay. And we're asking that, and often what happens is they'll notice some random item of shopping, and then I'll say, oh, it's probably usually for a youth cafe, I'm not aiming for diabetes, it's just like, that's just a lot of sugar. Sorry, giving your children a lot of sugar. And then they'll say something like, sorry if that's an offensive thing to say. And then that usually what happens is the person will say, my daughter's really struggling at school, is there anything you can do? I said, well, I'll pray for them. And what can I pray for you? And usually what happens is they'll get my number or I'll get their number and then we'll email. And there's a connectivity all the time. And it can just be as kind. I will take it that they care. They notice that you care about them. That is taking the kingdom wherever we go. And presencing ourselves is not just presencing ourselves with God. We want to be present and filled with God's Spirit, but we want to be present with the person in front of us. So we're present with God, we're present with the person in front of us, and we're asking, Holy Spirit, that's a lot of multitasking, but we can do it. We're asking God, what can I do? And God will look, give you a little prompting. There's a boy at the youth cafe, and I've noticed he eats a lot. And I just felt, God, what is this? And I just said, I felt like to say, to try and understand, mate, were you born really prem? And he was like, yeah. Ah, okay then. So when I go to school and they say he's very immature, blah, 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 and it's very difficult, I'm able to then go and say, do you know that he was born at 23 weeks? And they're like, ah. So there's just little bits of insight when we're listening to God, we're going in his power, and we're caring about the person in front of us. Thank you. Our heart's posture is complete dependence and submission to God's lordship. I'm not so good at being completely dependent on anyone. I'm afraid I've had to learn to be dependent on myself, and that is not right. God wants us to be completely dependent on him. So you know your place. Now you could, if you're identifying as a sinner, the slave, the broken, you might come to God and go, oh, I don't think you're going to use me, Jesus. I'm just not good enough. Use them. That is not your place. You are humble. You're like, oh, I'm saved. But I'm saved. Thank you, Jesus. But I don't deserve it. But I'm saved. So you know your place. Humble. Humility. But know your place. We, this blows my mind, are called as a holy priesthood. All of us are called as a holy priesthood. We have a holy ministry from God. In 1 Peter 2 verse 9, it says, but you are not like that, for you are a chosen people. Say, I am a chosen people, please. Say it like you mean it. I am a chosen people. It says in Peter, are holy priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. By the way, it's not just for the church. If you are not yet, he wants you to be. He was not like, oh, the church. He wants the church to be spread. He wants you in his family. Never think you're not good enough, because that is a lie. The devil wants to come, steal, and destroy, and wants to separate you from the purposes of God. And I'm saying that is, I'm not having it. I break that in Jesus' name. You're a chosen people, a holy priest, a holy nation, God's chosen possession. As a result, you can show goodness of God, for he called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. We get to enter. Jesus says a bit later on in the next chapter, we can enter God's presence without having to cower. We're going as Jesus. We can say, God, Jesus, God, would you come and break in this situation? Would you come and set me free of this my negative mindset? Would you come and set me free of this whatever it is? When Jesus sent out the 12 and the 72, he gave them all authority and power. Now, I believe, and I'm not a theologian, elders, that Jesus, God, gives us all power and authority. Agree? I think so. Glad you agree. In Ephesians, it also says, I will also pray, this is Paul speaking about us, praying for us, that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe in him. This power saves us from going a life separated from him. That is God's power at work in our lives. But it also means that we get to take that authority wherever we go. When you go to work, when you go to the gym, you're not just going like, oh, I'm going to just work out, going to work. You're taking that authority and power and love. Go with that mindset and see how your classroom or your work office staff room, how it changes. We can be so much like, yeah, I'm a good person, I'm a Christian, but then I'm going to slide into being materialistic or gossiping. We can slide into, yeah, but the manager's a bit of a, whatever. Our authority is really important. Don't you hate it when you're thinking about something and then God massively convicts you of stuff? I'm like, oh man, now's not a good time. The place I've been working in, it's a privilege, and we're going in God's love, and we know that we're going in God's love and power. We're getting to love on people that are broken, hurt. But there's some stuff in the place that I do not like. I am become judgmental, critical. In my own power, I want to take some of these things down. And for the last week or two, I felt like my heart feels a bit weird, and I couldn't tell you what it was. I'm thinking, well, what is it? What is it? And then I think last night I realized my heart's been wrong. So I'm going in authority and power, but I'm also going in judgmentalism, criticism. I want to take this down, which is not how it's meant to be. So pray for me tomorrow. I've got to go in humility. And I've noticed the atmosphere change. I've noticed it from being open to us to being closed to us. And I'm not sure why that is, but I need to do my part. I need to keep my heart clean. We need to operate in weakness and in power, submitted to his will. Not weakness like, oh, I'm pathetic and weak. As in, I know I can't do anything without you. We are not cowering slaves riddled with fear. We're to get into his word and see what his commands say. Jesus says, if you love me, you will do as I commanded. And if we don't read what he said to do, how are we going to obey him? We're not to operate in our own strength or in our own power. Without him, we can do nothing. When we come to God, we need to be completely submitted to God, obeying him and operating in his power and expecting him to move. The kingdom of God will advance through us because he said it would. But we need to go with that mandate, that authority, that we know that we can take the kingdom of God wherever we go. And it doesn't have to be in a big blaze of glory. And it's not about your glory. To be honest, it's not about your glory. It's not about mine. Doing this is actually quite painful for me. I hate being thinking, you're thinking, oh, look, she wants to preach. I don't really want to. I just know that I feel like I had something to bring. So when we posture our hearts, it's really, really important. And you might think, I'm not that bad. But we little subtle digs of each other. I can't believe they did that. I can't believe they did that. Little subtle, well, at least I'm not as bad as they are. You know, we think sins are big things. And there are big ones. But like, we need to keep our hearts clean. We need to present ourselves with people. Now, that's the other thing. Proximity. If we love Jesus and we stay in our holy little huddle, we never leave our holy little huddle, how are we going to tell people that don't know Jesus loves them that Jesus loves them? How are we going to take the kingdom of God wherever we go if we stay in our little... We're not a bomb shelter. The church is a mission. I'm just going to scroll down. There's a guy. I don't know if you can find it on the slides. He's a C of E. It's behind you. John, I was at a seminar, and this guy's... This is his definition of the church. I don't really know what our definition... I need to learn what our... I'm sorry, I don't really exactly know. But he says, we are a called out people to follow Jesus, to progress the kingdom, and to bring the rule of God on earth. So let me say that again. We are a called out people. Do you know you're called out people? Yes. Do you follow Jesus? Do you love him? Yes. We are to progress the kingdom and bring the rule of God on earth.